Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome. I hope you're having a great Sunday. Today we bring you the conclusion of a two-part series of preaching from the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church from a sermon I preached titled, Of Moments and Mantles. I think we have time to bring you some great music from our friends, Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Fearless, the name of this track is Great Are You, Lord.
The beauty of your majesty displayed for all the world to see. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder? The glory of your holiness, the mercy of your faithfulness. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder? We sing, great are you, Lord, for we adore you. Lift up your name and fall before you. We stand in awe and sing, great are you, Lord. We lift up our voice, we say, holy, holy, hallelujah, to the one and only, forevermore. We'll sing, great are you, Lord. Thrillers, urges you.
Lift biblical times, a mantle was typically a large, loosely fitting garment made of animal skin, probably sheepskin. Several people are mentioned as wearing a mantle, including Job in Job 1 and Ezra in Ezra 9. Prophets were known for wearing mantles as a sign of their calling from God. Now, whenever I read this, I think of Evangelist Willie Johnson. She wore a cape. Now, I never got to meet her. I never got to hear her preach. But she left such an impression upon people that I have read stories about her and have been amazed by her ministry, even though I never got to sit under her preaching. And in fact, here 2 or 3, 4 years ago, a researcher from headquarters researched her life and wrote a biography about her. But I've heard people say that while she was preaching, when a spirit of prophecy would come on her, she would leap off of the pulpit and she would swing that cape through the air, and you knew something was coming. The scripture here says that various prophets were known for wearing mantles as a sign of their calling from God, 1 Kings 19. The prophet Samuel wore a mantle, 1 Samuel 15. The prophet Elijah threw his cloak around Elisha as a symbol of Elijah's ministry being passed on to Elisha. The prophet's mantle was an indication of his authority and responsibility as God's chosen spokesman, 2 Kings 2. Elisha was not confused as to what Elijah was doing. The putting on of his mantle made his election clear. Now, I want to pause in reading this and mention that I read for you that it was neither Elisha who chose that calling, nor was it Elijah that chose that calling. God chose that. I've had at least one person ask me, hey, can I be an elder? Like as though I pick. There's a verse in the New Testament says, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. It is God that does the picking. However, the person who gets picked has a choice in whether they want to commit to that. So God's choice needs to be corroborated and confirmed by the choice of the called. Some theologians see the mantle as a symbol of the Holy Ghost. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha takes the mantle that had fallen from Elijah, similar to how Jesus received the Holy Ghost descending on him at his baptism in Matthew 3. The audible voice of God in Matthew 3 confirms Jesus as God's chosen servant. Cross-reference that with Isaiah 42 and verse 1. We see a similar falling of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 10. It's only after Elisha takes the fallen mantle that he performs miraculous works, 2 Kings chapter 2. The Holy Ghost empowers God's people to do God's work. The mantle served the practical purpose of keeping people warm and protecting them from the elements. And in this regard, it functioned a little bit kind of like a rain poncho. It served a symbolic purpose in the case of the prophets, showing that they were wrapped in God's authority. Like all of the imagery in the Old Testament, the mantle represents a visible representation of a New Testament principle. The mantle can be seen as a symbol of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that God so graciously gives to the people of his choosing. For instance, read 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 5 and 6, and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And when we understand that the one who is called needs to make a choice to agree with and to cooperate with and to accept that calling, it helps us to understand the answer to why did Elijah ask Elisha to stay behind. As his moment was approaching to be caught up, he repeatedly, now you remember me saying that some things are worth repeating. regarding the possibility of someone being guilty, the Bible says that no punishment is to be poured out except in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Some things are so important that it has to be emphasized with a corroboration of multiple statements. In one place in the New Testament where the church was about to get a disciplinary measure from the church founder, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to them about it, and then they didn't fix the matter, and he wrote to them again, and they didn't fix the matter. And he indicated that every time he wrote to them, it was in fulfillment of that two or three witnesses thing. And so Elisha is about to take on a responsibility of calling of God on his life that is so weighty that he's not given just one chance to back out. He's given multiple chances to back out. And when I think of this, I remember the words of Bishop T.F. Tenney, the late great. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He was of that same generation as Billy Cole. They were like two prophets of God born in the fire and could not sit in the smoke. And Bishop T.F. Tenney said that on one occasion, a young man came to him and said, "Bishop, I feel called into the ministry. What should I do?" And Bishop T.F. Tenney said, "I told him, if you can find any way out of it," he said, "if you can find any crack to slip through to get out of it," he said, "grease yourself, boy, and squeeze through that crack." I also remember Billy Cole saying that when he and his wife made application to the Foreign Missions Board to go as missionaries to Thailand, the Foreign Missions Board declined his application. They turned him down. And someone who knew what was up whispered to Brother Cole, "They turn everybody down the first time." Brother Cole told the story that he got on the elevator with the director of Foreign Missions, today called the Global Missions Division Director. He happened to be at the same hotel where the Foreign Missions Director was, and they happened to get on the elevator at the same moment. And the director told him, said, "The board voted to decline your application, and you had to have known Billy Cole." Without missing a beat, he said, "Tell them to vote again. They missed the will of God." And they did. They voted again, and they gave him an approval. The account of Elijah's preparations to depart and Elisha's determination to follow presupposes a previous revelation that's not recorded in Scripture, but it's implied, that this day was to be Elijah's last day on earth. And by repeatedly granting Elisha permission to remain behind, in other words, not fulfill the condition that you must be present when I'm taken up, by repeatedly granting him permission to stay behind, Elijah was testing Elisha's commitment to himself and to his calling as Elijah's successor. And if you think about it, in Matthew chapter 4, when we read about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness by the devil, Jesus was being given one opportunity after another to back away from his calling as the anointed one, the Messiah. If Jesus wanted to back out of the death that was coming on the cross, all he had to do was accept any one of these temptations, and that calling would cease away from him. But he always chose to stay true to that calling, and he resisted every one of those temptations, thus saying no to every chance to back out. So in a sense, Elijah was giving Elisha the opportunity to decline the difficult life and calling of a prophet. Elisha's refusal to speak of Elijah's departure, much less turn back, probably reflects Elisha's sorrow at the prospect of losing his friend and mentor, and reflects a commitment to honoring Elijah by serving in his place. Amen. So on occasion, when someone has been offered an opportunity to serve in my place and they've declined, I harbor no I harbor no bitterness toward them for that. And in reality, whoever one day, if the Lord tarries long enough, whoever one day fills my room will have to be someone that God chose, someone that I concurred with the choice, someone that they themselves concurred with the choice, and someone that the church concurred with the choice. It's so important that it deserves a whole string of yes and amens. I want to read this for you. The prophet compares Israel to the case of a leper in the time of Moses, regarding that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, is a reference to the most distressing type of contamination. And notice that that's the very best that we have. That's what it's compared to. I wrote this many years ago, and I want to read it for you again. Anointing is a personal matter. It is to be considered carefully and maintained carefully and properly used. And when your anointing and my anointing are combined, it is very powerful. If one shall put 1,000 to flight, it's not two puts 2,000 to flight. It's two puts 10,000 to flight. There is an exponential increase in effectiveness when we combine our anointing. It's one reason why coming to church is so powerful. The anointing of the musician, wow, didn't the singers and the musicians bless us tonight? A prime example is the combining of the anointing of the musician and the anointing of the singer together with the anointing of the preacher. When these anointings are carefully maintained through prayer and fasting and preparation and diligence, then they may be combined to see a great purpose accomplished for God. Both one's anointing and one's spiritual work ethic of excellence and faith are transferable and can be contagious. We should seek to instill into others all that is good with regard to our anointing and our spiritual work ethic of excellence and faith. Think of Elijah and Elisha. Think of the Mangans and the Shocks. We are all spreading something. The question is, what are we spreading? If you ever see that the fruit of your spiritual touch is continually confusion, hurt, anger, and discord in person after person after person, then you really need to question whether you are the source of that instead of each one of them. And again, I wrote this many years ago, and the longer I live and the longer I serve, the truer it becomes. Whenever you advance to a higher place in the kingdom and to a greater anointing, then don't aim to try to occupy both where you were and where you're moving up to. Like Elijah, arrange to transfer your prior mantle to someone new. Leave your old place as you go to your new place, and make sure you do your best to guide someone trustworthy into your former place of anointing and ministry. Now, I don't know how many of you know Pastor Art Hodges from out in California in our Western District, but I got to know him a little bit while I was at headquarters, and I made these notes from Pastor Art Hodges III. Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Art Hodges writes, if you're not fishing, you're not following. He says, Art Hodges wrote this, if we commit to oneness and fellowship, if we would commit to oneness and fellowship as much as we have to oneness and doctrine, we would reach the world. John 17 and verse 21 is the context of that statement. Regarding the church at large, uniting our efforts based on Jesus' prayer in John 17, 21. He prayed this, that they all may be one, and then later said, that the world may believe. And R. Hodges wrote this, you cannot manifest God's spirit and your flesh at the same time. If God's spirit is revealed, your flesh isn't. And if your flesh is revealed, God's spirit isn't. He also wrote this, if your private interpretation of Scripture divides you from the body of apostolic believers that you're born into, you are in deception. And for that, he quotes 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. After Elijah is taken up, there is this wail, this weeping cry from the younger minister. And I remember feeling it over and over again as a man of God that led me and helped me and trained me and mentored me, passed on to glory. The younger minister looks up as the chariot of fire is carrying the older preacher up. And he cries out, "My father, my father." And he receives the mantle that is falling down. And when he receives that mantle, he then begins to do miracles with that mantle. I want to close with this. There were two Bible colleges. The Bible calls them the School of the Prophets. There were two Bible colleges mentioned. One was at a village or city called Bethel, and the other one was at a village or city called Jericho. Now, both of those were places where the older prophet tried to get his student, his understudy, to stay behind and not visit. In other words, he said, "I'm going over to this Bible college. Don't go with me. Stay here." And he refused and went with him. And then again, he said, "I'm going over to that Bible college, and I want you to stay behind." And he refused, and he went and visited. And there was a third place that he tried to get his understudy to not visit, and that was the River Jordan. So just briefly, I made these observations about these three places. Bethel literally means the house of God. And I want to say to you, young people and young ministers, follow your dad to church. And if you don't have a godly dad setting that example, then follow the example of the man of God in your life and stay faithful to church. This entire day, I have struggled with dizziness and a feeling of nausea, but I came to church anyway. Some people will look for any excuse to skip church. It's not the right example to set. Stay faithful to church. Amen. The more services you miss at church, the weaker you become spiritually. And there will come a moment, if you keep doing that, there will come a moment that you'll backslide. Set your priorities regarding work. Don't let work become an excuse to keep you out of church so much that you backslide. Amen. Moving on from Bethel to Jericho. Jericho historically was a place of challenge where victory came by faith. And again, I would say, follow the example of either your dad or the man of God in your life by having faith through tough times. No one who gives up and goes back, no one who backslides during the tough times will ever make it past the challenges of life. And moving on to the Jordan River, this river was a place of special significance in the Word of God. It was the place where healing through obedience was given for Naaman. It was the place of baptism and forgiveness, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a place of confirmation of calling, both for the Lord Jesus and for Elisha. There was no school of the prophets at the River Jordan, but there were 50 witnesses from the Jericho school who came and watched what happened. Those who have been through the challenges and passed the test of faith are a cloud of witnesses watching our moment of calling and testing. Elisha was able to get the mantle from the great man of God in his life, and the 50 witnesses said, "The spirit of Elijah is upon Elisha." And I just want to simply say this: when you get a mantle of anointing, You do not have to boast about it. Others will know it. Getting a mantle of anointing should never be about undermining others around you, undercutting them, cutting them off at the knees, trying to make them look bad so you look good. This is not a competition. And as a young man, I made up my mind, wherever I think it is that God is trying to get me to, whatever goal in ministry I think is worth attaining, if I have to hurt somebody else to get there, if I have to climb over somebody else to get there, it's not worth the trip. Amen. Don't be jealous of somebody else. You may see the limelight of their calling, and you don't see the death threats they suffer. You don't see the agonizing betrayal and backstabbing they've gone through. Don't ever envy somebody because of their anointing. This is not a competition. There's plenty of ministry opportunities to go around. There's way more ministry opportunities than there are people willing to fulfill those opportunities. So don't feel like you have to push somebody else down to push yourself up. That's not how it works. It works like this. If you humble yourself before God, He will exalt you. But this is the key thing. God will exalt you in due season when the time is right. And His right time is almost never what we think is the right time. There are callings in this house right now. There are mantles. There are mantles that are falling down. There's a calling to be a missionary. There's a calling to be a pastor. There's a calling to be a minister of music. Calling to be a teacher. Calling to be a soul winner. There are mantles. And with every one of those mantles, there is a moment. There is a moment when you don't just say yes. You say yes or amen multiple times. And those yes moments, those amen moments, they add up to an emphasis of your commitment. Bishop T.F. Tenney, on another occasion, I heard him say this. He said, if you can imagine yourself in any calling other than this ministry calling, if you can imagine yourself being happy doing anything else, then you are not called to do this. The Apostle Paul described it like an obligation, a duty that is laid upon him. And he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He felt like there's just no way around it. There's all these opportunities, all these mantles that are available. There's no need to fight over them. There's no need to compete for them. There's more of them than there are of us. But it requires yes moments. I'd love to tell you that if you say yes tonight, you're done. The yes moments are past. You get your mantle. But it may not be. This may be a yes moment and a string of yes moments. But He will exalt you in due season. But I want to tell you, for heaven's sake, say yes. For heaven's sake, say amen. Because it is worth it. Let's stand shoulder to shoulder in this altar tonight, and let's lift our voices and lift our hearts and lift our hands and say, my soul says yes, Lord.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.